This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Again, Psalm 127 reads as follows. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The NIV reads, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And then if you go back in the Old Testament, turn back to your left and go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 8 said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you on today. We give you the glory and honor that's due your name. We thank you for your son Jesus who died for us. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, as we stand behind this sacred desk to preach your word, Lord, we come humble, realizing the awesome privilege and the awesome responsibility that we have before us. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in this place today, Lord. These are your people. This is your Bible. I'm your man for this moment. Have your way in Jesus' name, Lord. Let Marco sit down and let your spirit stand up in this place and speak a word into the hearing of those who are here and speak to those who are watching us from around the world. We thank you, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I had to give today's message a topic, it would simply be real men let God lead the way. Real men let God lead the way. And then the question I would add as a subtopic would be, what are you doing with the gift? What are you doing with the gift? Psalm 127 is known as a song of ascents. It's written by Solomon. And Solomon was writing in the present day and age, but also writing prophetically. We see in Psalm 127, verse 1, in the Amplified, it says, unless the Lord builds, that is, establish a foundation, the house, they labor, they toil and effort in vain. They are just spinning their wheels who build it. Unless the Lord guards or keeps and observes the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Jesus reminds us of a similar story in Matthew 7:24. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the wind and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Foundation is important. Not just the foundation below, but the foundation we establish in our family, the precedent that we set. See, many of us get overly concerned about the furnishings, how things look and where things go, but we forget the foundation. We can have a nice, beautiful house built on sand with the finest furniture from Ashley and Haverty's, but if the foundation is weak, we live in hurricane country. The wind's gonna come, the rain's gonna blow. It don't take a hurricane. We have a pop-up thunderstorm, and you might get a gust of wind of 30, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. And if the foundation is weak, it's like a house made of cards. When you walk by it, it blows. And the same thing with our spiritual house, with our family. We have been under construction for 4 or 5 months or so here with the restoration project. And we have been laboring, and but the scripture says if the Lord doesn't build the house. Thank God that more than 242 years ago, our ancestors established a solid foundation. Yes. And we are simply standing on their shoulders, standing on the foundation in which they built. Joshua, over in Joshua 24, in his last address to Israel, said this: "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was saying that we will be established in his household. That is the household of God. Men, not excluding you women, but I'm talking to the men. God's, one of the first questions he asked was, "Adam, where art thou?" He was asking, "Where are the men?" So this morning, God is compelled upon my heart to talk to the men. Men, we make that choice. We make that choice as to what happens in our household, thus the foundation that is to be established upon. Second verse in Psalm 127 said, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." We're working and we're toiling and we're losing sleep at night, worrying about how we are going to keep the furnishings, and we have forgotten the foundation. It's a waste for you to sit up all night and worry about whether something's going to happen, worry about whether you're going to be able to pay the mortgage, worry about whether you're going to have a job tomorrow. Worrying about, oh, if I do this, it might offend the boss. If I do this, it might offend someone else. It is God who delights in giving us rest. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We should be resting in our work. Our work should bring us joy. If we're in the right occupation, if we're doing the right thing with the gift. Remember the question, what are you doing with the gift? See, God has gifted us in such a way that if we are operating in our gift, then it's not laborious, it's not toilsome. It is actually relaxing. I enjoy what I do. I am blessed God has gifted me with the gifts of administration. He had gifted me with the gift of teaching. I am blessed that I get to serve. I majored in history and religion in school, and I get to serve in a church that happens to be steeped in history. Yes. And if that ain't a sweet spot, I don't know what is. I count it a privilege and a joy to be here. Yes. Look at verse 3 and 127. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are not a burden, they're a blessing. Some of us parents think that children are a burden. Them children ain't asked you to lay down and open your legs or get on top of that woman. I said it, ain't nobody here but us. We might as well go on and talk about it. Children are a blessing, not a burden. See, we want to sugarcoat stuff and we want to patty cake around issues. We need to go on and deal with it. That's why we got babies out here having babies, because we ain't raised the babies in the first place. We treated them like they were a burden. Children are not a burden, they're a blessing. They are the fruit that the Lord gives us. Again, what are you doing with the gift? Children are a gift from the Lord. I know this is relating to parenting. I know this message is relating to men. So many men, it's so easy for us to drop seed and walk away. And the women left with the burden. The Lord spoke to me as I was preparing this message. And I want to impress this upon you. Even though you may not have children of your own, men, don't take lightly the influence that you have over little ones. Yes. Same for our women. You may not have children, but children are watching. Yes. Yes. They're watching always. Somebody's always watching you. They may be older, they may be younger. I can remember 15 years ago when I was on staff at a church, we would have a Saturday morning men's prayer. And there was a young man by the name of Jonathan that I would see there at that church. And he was 10 plus years my junior. But he was diligent in that prayer meeting every Saturday morning. He was there. He was asking questions because he wanted to know. And that made me be careful how I walked, because he was watching me. Men, we have to lead from the front. We can't just talk the talk and don't walk the walk. We can't just want stuff to happen and we're not doing it ourselves. We can talk about the building, and we can talk about needing to raise $650,000, and we can talk about an increase in tithes, but if we're not tithing, we're wasting our breath. How you gonna ask somebody to tithe and you ain't tithing? If you can't say amen, just say oh me. I'm gonna get to the children. Just bear with me. Verse 4 in Psalm 127 says, like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior, so are the children of one's youth. I think the greatest compliment I've ever received came from the man that married my wife and I, Reverend Marvin Lloyd. And he is the godfather of my oldest son. And one of the things he said to me, we were talking about children, and I was thanking God for my children, because I know they are better parents than me, and they're catching hell from their children. I thank God that at least I know three of my three youngest are here in worship. Or I take that back, two of them are here. One is in Nashville, Tennessee right now this morning. My other two, my two oldest daughters, I couldn't tell you where they are right now. I hope they're in somebody's house of worship. I can only hope and pray. I'll confess, I screwed up the first two. But thank God, by the time the other three came, I had grown up and got my act together. And he said, Marco, you have been intentional about raising your children. Amen. And we as parents have to be intentional. Yes. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, wherever you at, whatever you're doing, whether you're lying in the house, lounging around, whether you're out in the streets, going about, everything you do is an object lesson to teach your children the scriptures.
Amen.
Everything, not just when it's time to go to meeting on Sunday morning. It should be church every day. I bet you if I went outside in the street over here and in the parking lot over here and in the back and asked some of y'all to turn y'all radio on, and them children riding in the car with you, hearing a bunch of garbage, a whole bunch of garbage, E93 and Love 103 and 94.1 The Beat and whatever else might be out there, Magic 101, and we wondering why our children are doing what they're doing. They're hearing it. They're hearing it constantly. Oh, I know they played the gospel on Sunday morning and you listen to it on your way to church, but what they hearing the rest of the week? You feeding them. It's getting in their mind. And you know what the thing about music? It gets into the subconscious.
Yes, it does.
It gets into the subconscious. You ever walk into somewhere and a little song was playing and then 30 minutes later you done left that place and that song in your head. Where in the world is this? Y'all think, why you think the advertisers use jingles for commercials? My baloney has a first name. My baloney has a second name. And if you ask me why I say, see, that commercial ain't been on TV in 20 years. That commercial ain't been on TV in 20 years. It's down in your subconscious. As arrows are targeted by an archer, so are the direction of our children. Could you imagine if an archer just randomly shot arrows with no target in mind? Anybody like the Peanuts? Charlie Brown? I like Charlie Brown, y'all. One day Charlie Brown was in his backyard having target practice with his bow and arrow. And he would pull the bowstring back and let the arrow fly into a fence. Then he would go to where the arrow had landed and draw a target around it. Several arrows and several targets later, Lucy said, you don't do target practice that way. You draw the target first, then you shoot. Charlie Brown said, I know that. But if I do it my way, I never miss.
Amen.
Are you doing it your way or God's way? I'm just asking. That's for you to answer. The value of the bow is in its flexibility, its willingness to bend for the arrows. The value in the arrow is its ability to be guided by the bow. Listen to me. The bow bends in its flexibility. Listen to me, parents, because some of us are so stiff and so rigid and we still want to talk to our kids about how we did it in our way, what we did. Your kids ain't living in your day. You grew up in the 60s, the 50s, the 70s, whenever you may have grown up, and your children living in the 2020s now, they're facing different challenges. Now, as the archer, we still have to do the thing of making the arrow straight. See, when they made arrows, they took a tree limb. And usually, now my grandmother had a willow tree in her front yard. It's called it a weeping willow, because if you catch it, it'll seem like it's crying. You stand under it, there's no rain, but you feel drops. And those willows, oh, I hate getting beat with them. Grandma would tell me to go out there and get a switch when I messed up. And I break one off, a little thin one, and she said, "That's perfect. Now go get me two more just like it." And she would braid them together. I digress. That ain't got nothing to do with this story here. But those arrows a lot of time were made of branches or like the willow tree that were flexible. And what the archer would do is take them and shape them. As parents, we are shaping our children. We talk about it in our mission statement, shaping lives through teaching. He shapens them, and then he sharpens them. He sharpens them so that the point is able to strike a deadly blow when it hits its target. Then he lets them dry out in the sun. He lets them dry out in the sun.
All right.
Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N.
All right, Master. All right.
And the sun makes them who they are. And those arrows. And then that archer pulls that bow. Let me tell y'all something about that. God just dropped this on me. Sometimes you gotta go backwards. Sometimes you got to go backwards in order to go further forward.
All right.
So that's for you, children. See, sometimes it feels like our parents holding us back. Sometimes they're pulling us back. They're pulling us back from things that might destroy us. They're pulling us back from things that are no good for us. They're pulling us back from a world that wants to take us out. There's an enemy of your soul out there that's seeking to destroy you. And the parents are pulling you back so that when they're ready to release you, you will go faster and further. And you will strike a blow. A deadly blow to the enemy. We know who the enemy is. Satan. Every one of our children should be growing up, and no matter what they grow up to be, it should be some type of way that it is making a kingdom effect. That they are pulling down the kingdom of darkness and bringing glory to the kingdom of God. I don't care if they're a computer engineer. I don't care if they're in sports. I don't care if they're a news reporter or a lawyer, whatever they going to be. If we as parents have done our job to sharpen them and shaping them, train up a child in the way he should go. That doesn't mean train them up when they're young. That means learning your children and what their bent is. I have a son who loves soccer, but thank God he loves the Lord. And he has been using his gift of soccer to open the doors for him, for young children that love to play soccer. He's been traveling around the country during the summers as an intern, as a soccer coach, doing VBS-style sports camps. They go into communities and partner with churches that do a VBS-style sports camp. So he's been, that's Coach Jerry. We call him Jeremiah, but the kids call him Coach Jerry. God has gifted him to run fast and to kick a ball. And he's using it to the glory of God. I realized that at an early age that he loved soccer. So I pushed him that way. He's blessed to earn a scholarship to go to college playing soccer.
Amen.
I got another one who from the time she was in kindergarten received the award of the most expressive. I ain't got to say no more about her. Y'all know who I'm talking about. When she would tell on her brothers, she didn't tell on them, she announced it. Jeremiah and Isaac was doing such and such, like a news report. At 11:25 on the hour, Jeremiah and Isaac did A, B, C, and D. She was announcing it. And we know what she does in the spoken world. And then I got one from the time he was knee-high to her aunt, every Sunday after church was heading that way, getting on the drums. And I encourage him in that. He just happens to be the line leader at Jenkins High School for the tenor drums, but he's also the chaplain for the entire band. And they don't do a performance. And I don't say this to brag on my kids or to impress you, but to impress upon you that we need to get to know our children. And know what their bent is. And encourage them to that. But to use it to the glory of God. Fathers play such an important role in the spiritual growth of their children. Listen to this. According to data collected by Promise Keepers and the Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will attend church as adults. If a father attends church irregularly, between 1/2 and 2/3 of those kids will attend church with some regularity as adults. Even if you're sporadic fathers, your children still stand a better chance. If a mother does not go to church, but a father does, a minimum of 2/3 of their children will end up attending church. In contrast, if a father does not go to church, but the mother does, on average, 2/3 of their children will not attend a church. Another study focused on Sunday school found similar results on the impact of fathers. When both parents attend Bible study, in addition to the Sunday worship, 72% of their children attend Sunday school when grown. When only the father attends Sunday school, 55% of their children attend when grown. When only the mother attends Sunday school, 15% of the children attend when grown. When neither parent attends Sunday school, only 6% of their children attend when grown. Another survey found that if a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% probability everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. However, when the father is the first, there's a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow.
Wow.
I ain't making this up, and the statistics don't lie, because the Bible supports it. Listen to Acts 16. Acts 16:25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoner has fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. See those Romans? If you lost a prisoner, they was going to kill you. So this man said, I'm going to kill myself. But Paul called out with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. When I was in the Marine Corps, I worked in the prison. I happened to be the chaplain's assistant. They found out I was a minister. I was an admin Marine. And they found out I was good in hand-to-hand combat. And they moved me to be the bodyguard for the chaplains and work in the prison. And I can remember when they did count. After they did count 3-4 times a day, you'd hear come over the speaker, count correct, that is count correct, meaning all are present and accounted for. Paul is yelling out saying, all are here, do yourself no harm. Then he called for a light and ran and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, let those men go. But I want to go back. It says right there, having believed in God with all his household. All. Circle that word all. Everywhere you see it, it says all his family, all his household. Y'all know what all mean, right? I checked it. I checked it in the Greek and the Hebrew. And I found out that all means is all. That means everybody. Verse 5 says, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Talking about children. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Y'all know what they're talking about right there, right? Y'all know sometimes we have enemies in the gate. The gate represented the political system. The gate represented the city hall or the state house or the White House, whichever one you have an enemy in. We won't discuss that any further. But he will not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. See, God has called us as Christians to speak truth to power. Men, we are called to speak truth to power. The quiver is the arrow holder full of them to shoot and to guide. The gate represents those business transactions. When children go out to the gate, they will not be ashamed of their parents because they have taught them how to trust God and how to be children of integrity. Ezekiel 22:30 said, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land and search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. So now I will pour out my fury on them, consuming them with the fire of my anger. I will heap on their heads the full penalty of all their sins. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. We're going to pause and pray. We have a baby to dedicate. But I want to take it further than that. Understand the importance of prayer. Prayer is assessing the throne. Prayer is accepting God's plan. Yes. Prayer is agreeing with others. When we pray and confess, to confess simply means to agree with. When we confess, we are agreeing with God. We're agreeing with God. We're accepting his plan. I want the baby and the family, Sister Johnson, to come at this time.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify. GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.